Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York Giants football content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com. Adult content ahead, because you know we're doing it live. You have Roadhouse in the power chair tonight, and on the line we have Mac and Rahway Tommy. Well, Giants fans, the second season has arrived. Big Blue travels to Minnesota for the 4:30 game on Sunday's wildcard weekend. I got to tell you, this is a team that can go up there and win. You know, I was a little worried about the momentum of sitting the starters against the Eagles, but the way the second, third, and third stringers played out, I think just gave them even more confidence, even the starters. So I feel like they got the best of both worlds. They got a jolt from that showing in Philadelphia, and they got to rest all their guys.
Am I the only one that thought that was one of the most fun Giants games, you know, of the season? I you know, it's certainly you get some leeway when you've already clinched the playoffs and your seed, but watching the Giants second and third stringers frustrate the hell out of the Eagles, who, you know, desperately wanted to pull their starters as early as possible. It was awesome. And like the whole bench erupted when Webb truck sticked that dude for a TD. They lost their minds when Kenny Galladay caught a touchdown. I mean, yeah, this was awesome. You know, forget the whole no moral victory thing. This was as great of a loss as you could have.
Yeah. You know, I was excited because we get through a week, no injuries. We're heading into the playoffs. Everyone stays healthy. All the things that needed to happen to knock Philly out of the one seed, none of it happened anyway. So what did we get? If we play people are banged up and don't get that extra week to rest. And this was a different situation from Tom Coughlin playing his guys against the undefeated Patriots. In that, you had history, and then the integrity of the game played into that decision. Here you had guys like Leonard Williams, Adoree Jackson, Ojulari, Saquon, that got a week off, rested up, and, you know, should be ready to go for wild card weekend. So they really took advantage of the week to rest. Our backups and reserves played well. And, I mean, that has to give us confidence going into a possible divisional round game if we can beat Minnesota, which we're going to talk about today.
Tommy, you know? I love you. You're forever the optimist. But let's not even entertain a discussion that is about anything after this coming week. Please, yeah, please, for me.
It's got to give you confidence even in this week. Your backups played well. Everybody's coming together. And for those guys, too, they got to put stuff on tape that's going to help Shane, Daboll, and company to help evaluate for next season. And some of these guys will land jobs off of what they put on tape this past Sunday. And I love giving Davis Webb the start. You save Tyrod just in case. We don't want to go there, but you don't want Davis Webb coming in off the bench, even if it's for a series. And you know what? I think it was a payback and a reward for a guy that's a team player and was a mentor to Daniel Jones throughout the year. And you don't give anything away in the NFL. But, you know, the guy earned the start. He could have, you know, been coaching in Buffalo, possibly somewhere else this year, gave it another shot. And he could be a guy that's on the staff next year or in the future if we lose anyone on the offensive side of the ball.
Now, Tom Coughlin chimed in on the Daboll's decision. And I was really kind of sort of expecting him to recall his decision in 2007. But he was very clear that he supported Daboll's decision, and every situation is different. And that was what worked for them at that time. So, you know, I think the fact that Saquon Barkley is going to be coming into this game in Minnesota having a full week off is massive.
A full week. He sat most of the fourth quarter against, you know, Indy. So he's going to be well rested. And he had a good game against these guys the last time. He put 84 yards up on the ground, had 8 catches. So he's obviously our number one back, is going to play a big role. I was watching some highlights of the Rodney Hampton game against the Vikings, you know, back in the 90s. They handed the guy the ball 30 times. I think that could be something that Saquon sees, maybe not handoffs, but, you know, 25, 30 touches. He had 8 receptions in the last game. But what I really liked is over the past 3 weeks after that midseason slide, you know, this team's picked up some momentum, heading into the wild card game, which is what you want. You know, first on Christmas Eve, right? No moral victories. But they hung with this team that they're going to go out and play this week, and they lost on a 61-yard field goal after the big play to Jefferson. You know, then we come home and handle the Colts to wrap up the sixth seed, which gave us the right to rest our guys this week. And the second and third stringers played. They were supported.
Speaking of that last matchup in Minnesota, who do the Giants have coming back in the wild card weekend that did not play that week?
The two most obvious answers are Xavier McKinney and Adoree Jackson. But you could also make the argument that Leo Williams and Aziz Ojulari, who essentially didn't play the second half of that game, are coming back. You could make the argument that the top four defensive players for the New York Giants are going to be on the field for the playoff game that were not really a factor in that very, very tight, close game, as you were just saying, Tommy.
And Landon Collins played that game, but he was just getting his footing.
Yeah, so he's starting to get going, and I mean, he's basically a linebacker, right? So he's getting more comfortable in there. I mean, that's kind of been his game all along, but now he's got a month of solid football that, you know, he's been active and playing, and as you see, week to week, he's been contributing more, and I think, you know, he'll help us in the run game. Dalvin Cook didn't go crazy, 64 yards in that last matchup. Now you have an extra tackler in the box that we know will come up and make tackles on those running backs, and we're going to keep getting into this game. But with those,
I think that's going to be a big difference this weekend, Tommy. Not to interrupt, and I'll come back to it later. But
yeah, and with those weapons coming back on defense, you know, McKinney being back, Adoree Jackson being out there, being matched up against, you know, a Justin Jefferson, and these other guys playing the role that they're meant for, to be coming in nickel and dime and as depth, I think it's going to look a lot different. And I think pass rush, secondary, we shut down that pass and make Dalvin Cook run on us, I think we're going to be in good shape. I think you'd make Kirk Cousins try and win this football game. And
I like the addition of Jared Davis in the linebacker position, helping out in that run stopping. But they're going to have to get them in the third and longs. That's the absolute key. That's when Wink Martindale can unleash the beasts.
Baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
And really change the game.
And we're forgetting about Jalen Smith, too. He's been playing great football the last few weeks.
Guys, okay. I love you both. I do. And I appreciate what you're trying to say about the Giants linebacking core. But let's not be too polite about this. And God bless players. Love you. Thanks for being listeners. I'm sure they are. But on paper, an objective person would say the Giants linebacker depth is dog shit. So I'm sorry. Yet we're excited about Jerod Davis, who was on the Lions practice squad 2 weeks ago. Like, that's insane. That speaks to the state of the Giants linebacking core. So I'll come back around, though. The positivity here is, yeah, you're telling me that Landon Collins transitioning full time to linebacker is not above guys like a rookie Micah McFadden, I think over the hill Jalen Smith, and Jerod Davis. You know, it's way better for this team to have Landon Collins down in the box. And I've been on record as saying the Giants struggle against shiftier running backs a la your Dalvin Cooks, but Landon Collins is tailor-made to go after that guy in the box. I'm really looking forward to seeing him make some 2016-esque tackles. So.
Well, I think the point about the defense is that we know that the front four are excellent. The Giants have coming back Adoree Jackson and McKinney, which automatically improves their secondary. And from the beginning of the season, when you had Tay Crowder out there missing every gap, Jalen Smith running around with his hair on fire, and McFadden, who's a bit overwhelmed, I know you say he came off the Lions practice squad, but he's a thumper. He was highly drafted. Now he's been with the team for a little while. And Landon Collins, I feel very confident about the defense going up to Minnesota.
I just don't think he's athletic enough to be a factor in the pass defense. So yeah, he's another thumper. Like he's a quality body to throw in there. I just don't think he's.
It's an improvement, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not going to a Pro Bowl, but he's an improvement.
As Tracksuit Mike might say, he's no panty dropper. But you know, I'm looking forward to making some tackles.
But Shane, he improved the roster in the only way that he could as the year went on. We didn't have a lot of cap space. You know, we weren't going to make these big, you know, trade deadline acquisitions as we saw, and we still got there. And the upgrades that he made put us in a better spot than we were earlier in the season, you know, in the first quarter, first half of the season.
What about this little note that I heard? The New York Giants official website released their unofficial depth chart. And lo and behold, who has jumped to the first string wide receiver but Kenny Galladay? What do you guys make of that?
I guess it's because the New Jersey State Troopers lifted the all points bulletin because he was cited in Philadelphia. But that was the highlight of the game, to see him get that touchdown and the teammates support him. One of the linebackers sat down next to him on the bench and just flipped the old double bird up, and the camera caught it and panned away real fast. You could tell they were excited for the guy. And the one thing you haven't heard is that, you know, he's a bad teammate. The guys are rooting for him. And if he contributes anything, it's a bonus at this point. And if he catches one of these in a playoff game, or even if he just makes a couple plays.
He hasn't seen the field in 10 weeks.
He's back, baby. He had it all the way. We always supported him. Kenny Galladay, KG, baby.
Is this deception by Brian Daboll?
Yes, of course.
You think it's deception? It's on the New York Giants homepage.
So the only
he's
thing
coached with Belichick, so
I don't think that's his. I think he's much more genuine. How would Kenny listen? And this is how Daboll is an operator, as a manager. He respects all his players. You think he's going to put him on there as a decoy?
I think that it's possible that it was a mistake. I think that it's possible that this is what the Giants' unofficial depth chart. Is it possible that because he got the start in the most recent game and the Giants aren't required to release their official depth chart, they just ran back whatever last week's was? I don't know.
It's more likely it was a social media team blunder than anything else. Then he's actually going to get the start.
Yes, that's far more likely. Like, look, I want nothing more than Kenny Galladay to contribute to this team, if nothing else in the red zone or whatever.
Because everything else is as is, after I had looked at it earlier myself too. Like, Daniel Jones is listed, Barkley's listed.
It seems like a pretty big mistake by the Giants social media team. I certainly think it's possible, but for a company that is a billion-dollar company to make, it's a pretty big mistake.
I mean, the Giants signed Kenny Galladay. They hired, Ben McAdoo. They're prone to making mistakes. God bless them. Love you, John Mara. Love the New York Giants. But let's not go ahead and say they're, holier than thou above making stupid decisions. Shit happens all the time. Lee, I digress. One thing, I want to come back to something else, though, real quick before we move on here. Talking about a player that is going to make an impact. We've mentioned him, but I want to throw out a stat to you. There's really only two players that made a difference in the Vikings game, against us specifically. One of them being Justin Jefferson. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. 12 for 133. TJ Hockenson, however, 13 receptions, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns, including that absurd one over the top of 2 Giants. Xavier McKinney enters the game, and now you have to imagine is going to be the primary defender on TJ Hockenson. I'm not going to say he's going to neutralize him. I'm not saying he's going to stop him, but I have to believe that he is going to be more effective than that. And if we can cut those numbers in half, I'm feeling fantastic about the Giants defense going to this game. That's going to be one of my biggest matchups to look for there.
Yeah. You have to figure he's not catching 13 passes and 2 touchdowns again. Him and Jefferson were a 2-man show in the passing game. Kirk Cousins did play well. He threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. But
299 to be specific.
25 of the receptions of his 34 in that game were to those two guys. So I see, a little bit better coverage. We get the pass rush going. I don't see Hockenson doing the same
on that thing. On that note, let's use that to transition into our segment, 4-down territory. Can I kick it? It's where we're going to look at the 4 most important matchups in the rematch against the Vikings during Wild Card Weekend.
Guess who's back? Back again. Adoree's back. Tell a friend. He's covering Justin Jefferson. So can he neutralize him enough that he doesn't put up 12, you know, and that big play at the end, and he limits them. Maybe he makes his catches, because we know this guy gets his numbers, but he's, you know, you can't stop him. The old Stuart Scott line, right? You can only hope to contain him. Let's keep him out of the end zone. You know, let him get his 100 yards, but maybe he only has 7 catches, no touchdown. And I think it's going to be much improved from what we saw with, you know, backups and depth guys, you know, covering Justin Jefferson in that first matchup.
All right. So first down, Adoree Jackson coming back into the lineup against Justin Jefferson. You know, I will say you will only want to contain him, but the Packers sort of shut him down, if I'm not mistaken. So let's stick with containing him and hope for even better. All right. Second down to Mac.
So it's got to be the Giants pass rush versus the Vikings O-line. We touched on it earlier, but this is key. This is everything. Kirk Cousins is prone to making mistakes when he is under duress. He threw 48 passes last game. That's a shit ton of attempts. As you mentioned earlier, Roadhouse, get into third and longs. This pass rush needs to get home. They got 4 sacks and 11 more hits. They played fantastically against this line last time. And there's essentially a swap here. I do believe Garrett Bradbury, the center that has been out for the Vikings, is going to be back. It's not guaranteed. And the guy who started behind him, he is out. Their right tackle, Riley, he is out. Meanwhile, the Giants were out Azeez and Leo in the second half again. Thibodeau has just been improving every single week. Like, they got a feast. Get after him. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Okay, second down, Giants pass rush against the Vikings offensive line. And that's the thing. What they're thinking in Minnesota right now is the Giants have an excellent pass rush. How do we slow it down? And I think they're probably thinking the same as the Giants are about Justin Jefferson. They're not going to stop the Giants pass rush, but if they can keep it contained and keep it from breaking the game, they'll have a pretty good chance of winning. Let's move down to third down.
Sexy, taxi.
Let's move to third down.
All right. You know, the Giants wide receivers have been getting, you know, garbage thrown at them all year, not by Daniel Jones, but by the fans and us supporters of how they're this ragtag group. But that last game, Hodgins was 8 for 89. James, 8 for 90, got in the end zone. Slayton showed up 80 yards. Saquon had 8 catches for only 50 yards. But for me, the checkdown's there, because then Bellinger had a couple. The checkdowns were there that game. I think a similar pattern we got to follow, and we target, you know, their CB2, Duke Shelley. Patrick Peterson had a rough beginning. He did get that interception that was big for Minnesota, but if we target Shelley and these guys put up similar numbers, I think you're looking at Daniel Jones, another game where it's going to be on his legs and his arm to help us take advantage of that matchup.
All right, third down, Giants wideouts against Duke Shelley and other cornerbacks. I will say Kafka's been opening the playbook down the stretch, and I agree, it's critical for them to keep that passing attack if they're going to continue this season. All right, fourth down.
So look, if second down is ever going to come true, Dalvin Cook and the Giants run defense has to be the most important possible matchup. You can't even talk about the pass rush if this is not contained by the Giants. Now, look, we talked about it earlier. How many passes Kirk Cousins had? I know he's a first-year head coach, and he's playing very well, but you got to go ahead and fire this man if Dalvin Cook doesn't have more than the 14 carries he had last game. They only carried the ball 18 times the entire game. The Giants ranked 27th in rushing defense. As we talked about, our linebackers are terrible at the second level, despite having possibly the best duo of interior linemen in the NFL. It's baffling. The Giants are one of the worst rush defenses in the league, right? We got Dalvin Cook. It's a no-brainer. The guy still, in probably an off year, has over 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns, 4.4 average. He's a killer. The Giants need to lock him down. Look for this to be flipped. Kirk Cousins, I'm telling you, is going to have 30 or fewer attempts. Dalvin Cook, 25 touches. Book it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I think we all listen to Carl Banks. Whatever he says is gospel. And he really analyzes the second level of the Giants defense. And he talks about it's just gap assignment, and it's using your head. And that's why I'm excited about the new blood coming in, because Crowder just couldn't get it together. He couldn't follow the instructions. And I think with the new linebackers, they don't need to do much. They got great front four to help them out. If they just get in the gaps correctly, put the Vikings in third and long, and then we can let the big dogs eat. All right, on that note, we're going to transition to my favorite segment, What the F Would That Look Like? It's where each week we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the F the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the F would it look like if Kenny Golladay returns to the starting lineup for the New York Giants?
How many times do I have to tell you, old man? Like, there's no way. There's no way. That's the reality. Dable wouldn't do this. Guys, all right, we finally were happy about our coach. We love him. Dayballs, who am I to question this man? But there's just no way that he would do this. I want Kenny to succeed. This has nothing to do with him. But for once in what? How many years, really, specific to this team, for once this season, the Giants have strung together 3-4 games where you actually feel optimistic about what this offense can do. Richie James, much maligned, specifically by me this season, making an impact. Isaiah Hodgins, killing it. Like, it would absolutely ruin the synergy that this offense and the momentum that they've had. Dable's not going to do it. That's period, end of story.
Well, he could do it. It is on the team's website. So answer the question. What would the offense look like if Kenny Golladay returns to the starting lineup?
I think the offense would look like it took a step back and attuned to what a very familiar outcome of 0 to 6 points in the first half for the Giants.
Like you said, Dayballs, it's a ballsy decision. He does this, he must see something. I'm to the point with this guy. You're looking at the NFL Coach of the Year, possibly. I'm going to trust him. If he sees something, we don't know what's going on. Obviously, they have to report injuries. Maybe somebody's a little dinged up, but they're practicing. He sees something there that he believes in the guy, and he thinks it's going to help this week. We've seen guys like Belichick do this all the time, go week to week with a game plan. Obviously, I'm not thinking he's playing the hot hand, but maybe he's seen something in practice over the last 4 or 5 weeks leading into this week where he played a little bit and he sees something. And this doesn't mean he becomes the number one option on the field. Hodgins is still going to be out there. He's got a relationship with Daniel Jones, Richie James, Slayton. These guys are all going to contribute.
Not if he's starting. Roadhouse, please talk some sense into him. Please. Please tell me you see the reality of this.
Listen, I haven't seen anything to make me think that Kenny Golladay should start. But if Brian Dable is going to put him in the starting lineup, this guy's no fool. He's going to produce.
I hope that that is true. What the F would it look like? I hope that both of you have a much truer vision, a divination of this reality than I do. But I just, what could he possibly see 19 games into the season that would justify him starting any of the only 3 players that have made any impact on this offense in years, literally?
Okay, with that brings us to Huge Predictions. Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Fusilla Automotive, but we are working on it. So if anyone knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com.
What is that? It's huge, Tom, huge!
The Giants are road underdogs in the playoffs, so we're keeping it simple this week. What's the final score, and who's going to be the difference maker in the game?
I'm going to go with 27-24. The New York Giants move on, heading to Philadelphia, and the big difference maker is going to be Kenny. I'm just kidding. It's going to be Isaiah Hodgins coming up big again in Minnesota with a touchdown, 100 yards receiving.
So I love it, but I'm not sure if it's huge enough. So the Giants and the Vikings, I believe, have played in the most one-score games this entire season. So my huge prediction, this is going to be a blowout. The Giants coming out party happens this weekend, following the long tradition of the Giants versus the Vikings in the playoffs, 35-17, New York Football Giants over the Minnesota Vikings, and it's Daniel Jones, baby. He said he's dropping the nuts, so we drop the bag. He wants it. This dude's going to have 300 yards, two TDs, no touchdowns, and some rushing.
Well, would that be nice? I don't think – I am optimistic. I see this team as a team with mojo. They're improving. They're evolving. It's a first-year coach.
They're young.
Coaching staff. I really think that they have a lot going for them. Momentum in the NFL is massive. The Giants will go to Minnesota. They will win. It'll be 28-24. 28-24 Giants, and it's going to be a sack party. It really is. Cousins is going to be probably knocked out by the second half, and it's going to be all four, the front four. It's going to be two for Thibodeau, one for Ojulari, one for Leonard, and one for a Big Sexy. All right. Let's not bicker over who killed who, and let's end tonight with the fact that the NFL just isn't aware that the Giants are young,
aggressive,
improving.
New York
Football
Giants.
All right, for Mac and Tommy, I'm Roadhouse, and we're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.